In 1858, after receiving the nomination from the Republican Convention for the state of Illinois for the U.S. Senate seat for the state of Illinois, Abraham Lincoln gave a fairly famous speech, but one that his friends would later say actually caused him to lose the election for Senate, but ironically would help him win the election for the presidency just years later. And in that speech, Lincoln wanted to have a quote that people would identify with, that they would have already heard before, and so he actually quotes from Jesus in our gospel. And it's in that he says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And in this, Lincoln was talking about the issue of slavery, and he believed that the nation would not survive if it continued to be divided on the issue of slavery. And since then, his words, and really Jesus' words, have often been used to bolster unity, especially among people in a nation and in any organization. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And I think from this we also get sayings like, "United we stand, divided we fall." But Jesus used this saying in quite a different way than Lincoln and most of us would ever use it. In our gospel reading, Jesus is confronted with unbelief. And surprisingly, the first unbelief that he's confronted with is his own family. In fact, his own mother, Mother Mary, is in this. They don't believe him, and there's something about their unbelief. I don't know how strong it is or what their confusion is, but they're believing what people are saying about Jesus, that he's out of his mind. And so they're trying to pull him away from the crowds that are gathering around Jesus. The second kind of unbelief that Jesus meets is far more intense and far more serious and far more of a line in the sand. The scribes see Jesus, and they've been witness to his works. They've seen how he's exercising authority in his proclamation, his preaching. He's exercising authority by his miracles, by feeding the people, by healing people that are coming to him, which is why the crowds are coming. And they've seen how Jesus has been exercising authority over the demons themselves. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus quite often is casting out demons. He is intensely engaged in spiritual warfare against Satan. And the scribes have seen all these things. But instead of just plain old belief, instead of even just a simple rejection of Jesus, they go a step farther. They see the works, which can only be the work of God, or the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus himself, and they attribute all these works to Satan. Surely, Jesus must be possessed by a demon. Only if he has a demon in him can he possibly cast out other demons. And Jesus would later call this sin of theirs, this attributing the work of God to Satan, as an unforgivable blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's in response to this that Jesus gives those famous words that Lincoln made even more famous. Verse 23, Jesus says, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand." Now, these words can stand true for anything. They can stand true for a church. They can stand true for a nation. Here, the house Jesus is talking about the kingdom Jesus is talking about is Satan's house. It's the devil's kingdom. Verse 26 explains this. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, Satan cannot stand, but Satan's end has come. Now, Jesus gives this defense, and he gives us these words, and there's two primary points we can take out of them. First is the plain that Jesus is basically saying to the scribes, I'm not Satan. I'm not the devil, nor am I possessed by the devil, because that wouldn't make any sense for the devil to work against himself. I am engaged in battle against the devil. That's Christ's first thing there. The second is really scary. The second is this reality that Satan, the devil, his minions, are not divided against themselves, but rather they are united. And not only are they united, but they are united firmly against Jesus. And if they're united firmly against Jesus, guess what? They're united against everything that Jesus loves on this world. And that includes you and me. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, your enemy, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. In the Gospel of John, Jesus will refer to Satan as the ruler of this world. Think of that. Jesus himself, who we call Lord, whom we call God, talks about the devil as being the ruler of this world. And so, as ruler of this world, as that prowling, roaring lion who seeks someone to devour, as our adversary, the devil is always at work against you. He's at work in temptations. He's at work in his lies, his accusations against you, causing you to doubt the very word of God. He's at work enticing you, throwing the guilt of your sin ever and always back on you. His hope is to crush you with that guilt, with that sin. And so then Jesus goes on. In verse 27, he says, but no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed, the house can be plundered. Now, I have to tell you, just because I'm a pastor and just because I've gone to seminary doesn't mean that I understand every piece of Scripture. For a long time, this verse really actually confused me. I couldn't piece together what Jesus was talking about. Until I really did a deep dive on it for adult Bible study this past year as we went through the Gospel of Mark. Yesterday I saw my friend Luke on the internet posted an illustration helping us to understand what this verse is talking about, and I thought I'd kind of share that illustration with you. And it's exceptionally fitting because we just had the anniversary of D-Day, June 6, 1944. Think of Adolf Hitler as the strong man. He was the strong man of Germany, the strong man of 1940s Europe. As the strong man, he ruled and he seized Austria, he seized Czechoslovakia, he invaded Poland, the Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Belgium, France. He bombed the heck out of London and Great Britain. He was the strong man. And at one point, most of Europe was under his power. And even that wasn't enough. He also had the audacity to invade the Soviet Union. He was the strong man. But on June 6, 1944, U.S. and Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy and began a bloody and a violent campaign to bind the strong man. We went into the strong man's house in order to bind him and in order to plunder his house. Plunder his house from all those who were held under his oppressive rule. Those in France, those in Europe, not to mention all those imprisoned in concentration camps. And eventually, Europe was set free. Satan is the strong man of this world, like Hitler was a strong man of Europe. And the strong man's property, his house, cannot be plundered until he is bound. Jesus came upon this earth like the D-Day invasion, incarnate in the flesh, in order to bind the strong man, to free the captives from him. In Jesus, you are free. You have been plundered from the strong man's house. In Jesus, your guilt has been released. You are forgiven of your sin. You are no longer under the rule of the ruler of this world, but instead of that, you are under the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ, who continues to fight for you and for all those who are still bound under the power of the devil. So while this world still stands under the rule of Satan and therefore against the people of God, Jesus instead has united you under his house. He has united his people under his victory. Through the waters of baptism, you are made his children, and you are bound together as one people and one family. As his people and as his family, set free from the burden of sin and from the rule of the ruler of this world, then you are called to go out into battle, to bring that word of mercy and grace and forgiveness, the one little word that will fell him, to the rest of this world, that they too might know Christ and might know his freedom. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you have done for us through Jesus Christ, that we have been set free by the blood of Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that we would continue in the freedom of Christ, not bound by sin any longer, but living in your freedom. We pray too, O Lord, that you would arm us with your word as we go into this world, that we would bring your freedom to other people by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name. Amen.